that in mind. I think we've got some slides. Can you click them forward, Simon, because my phone isn't working very well. So, when you watch a film or a TV program, can you tell the good guys from the bad guys? Who's the good guy here? The policeman, and the bad guy is? The robber. The robber. Yes. Next slide, please. Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Some other children can work it out. Have a go. So the good guys are wearing the white hats. They're shooting from the sheriff's house. Perhaps they are the sheriff's team. The bad guys in black hats are shooting from the saloon, perhaps where they've been drinking too much. Now, you might say, oh, that's just prejudice, making that assumption. But in the old days, some of you may have grown up with cartoons on television where they were always white hats and black hats, probably because they didn't have colour TV then. Okay, next slide. Ooh. What's going on here? Who are the bad guys and who are the good guys? The pirates are fighting the Royal Navy, but who are the bad guys? The pirates. And the good guys are? The Royal Navy. HMS Swallow, on which I served, though not that one, this was... this battle was 1417-22. When Captain Ogle of HMS Swallow defeated and killed Black Bart off the coast of Ghana. Those were the days, good guys versus bad guys. But sadly, in real life, it is more difficult to tell. Which side of the protest march, or when the two protest marches meet, are the good guys and which side are the right guys? Is it the far left or the hard right, or is it the other way round? Is it the protesters or the police? Are we the good guys? Are we sure? And then that might lead us to think, we want the good guys to win, but can we tell which they are? And does God know who the good guys are? And if he can tell the good guys from the bad guys, why doesn't he do something about it? Why do bad people get away with bad things and good people suffer? Why is there so much trouble in the world? Why are there tyrants and terrorists and thieves and tricksters preying upon the innocent? Well, the good news of the gospel that Jesus came to proclaim was that the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom is very near. And as we've been reading through Matthew's gospel, I hope it's becoming clearer and clearer that Jesus is the king who God is sending to bring peace and perfect justice to his world. Jesus has the power to teach the gospel, and he has the power to heal the sick and raise the dead. And as Jesus goes around healing and teaching, people start to ask, yeah, it's great, but where's the judgment? When will the wicked get their just deserts? And if you remember a few weeks ago, we thought about John the Baptist. He was in prison, and he had preached when he was still out and free that when the Messiah, the Christ, came, he would bring judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Judgment. But it hadn't happened. And still, 1900 years later, you may be wondering, is it ever going to happen? Is Jesus really the king? Can God not tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys? Can he not do something about it? So people were getting restless. The disciples were getting worried. So Jesus tells them a whole series of seven stories or parables to explain how God's kingdom really is coming. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the sower and the different soils which bear fruit or don't bear fruit.
And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be looking at the three last parables in this series. But here Jesus tells us three stories to make 2 points. So let's look at the two stories that came last, which make the first point. Here we are. Jesus tells them that the kingdom is coming, but it is slow and small, but it is sure. Jesus says the kingdom is like a mustard seed, which is incredibly tiny. It's one of the smallest seeds you can plant in the garden, but it grows into a huge plant, a tree in which birds can take shelter. Jesus says it's like the yeast which a woman mixes into the flour to make it rise and turn into bread. It only takes a teaspoon of yeast to make a great mass of bread ready for baking. And it's the same, says Jesus, with my kingdom. God's plan is that my word is like that tiny seed or the little spoonful of yeast. It works quietly, almost invisibly from small beginnings, but it makes a huge difference in our lives and in our world. Now, often in the Bible, yeast is a symbol of something bad. So Jesus is being quite subversive here. Imagine if we go down to coffee afterwards and one of the team on coffee puts a spoonful of salt into your coffee. Well, there's still plenty of coffee there, but you know that the whole cup is going to taste disgusting. So normally a little evil spoils a lot of good. But Jesus says a little good can change a lot of evil. So the kingdom is coming. It's small and it's slow, but it's sure. And then Jesus tells them a story about a farmer and his fields. This farmer is obviously very rich with lots of servants, and someone has crept into his field and deliberately spoiled it by sowing weeds. Now, those any gardeners here? People with an allotment? Yes. And do you spend your life weeding? Yeah, so do I. The same weeds every year. If I find out who it is that's creeping in, but actually they just do it themselves. But this farmer has got a real enemy who's crept in and deliberately sowed poisonous seeds. They're not the ordinary ones like thorns and nettles and brindweed. This is a poisonous seed called darnel, or tares in old Bible translation. And it looks just like wheat. Look at the one on the left, look at the one on the right. They're quite difficult to tell apart, aren't they? And you can't tell them apart until it's almost ready for harvest. Now, we know that people did this bad thing of sowing nasty seeds in people's fields because the Romans made very strict laws about it. And Jesus explains the story, which is quite complicated, to his disciples a little bit later. Let me read it to you. It's on page 980, beginning at verse 37. The disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So, when the farmer's servants see all this weed growing in their field, they are dismayed. Where did the weed come from? Just like John the Baptist, just like you and I might be troubled by all the evil in the world. Why doesn't God do something? The servants say, "Why don't we rush in there and pick out all the weeds now?" But the farmer tells them, "No, don't do that. The weeds are so like the ordinary wheat, they're growing so close that you'll rip up the wheat at the same time. Instead, wait till the harvest, and then the harvesters will go carefully through the whole field and pick out the weeds and burn them up before they gather the wheat safely into the barn." Jesus knows that there is evil in this world. He knows where it comes from. He knows there is a devil. But Jesus also knows that a day is coming when he, the Son of Man, will come back with God's angels from heaven, and he will judge the world. The kingdom might seem small and slow, but what the day of judgment is final, and it will be fair. The wheat doesn't stand for the word in this story. It stands for the people who respond to the word, the sons and daughters of the kingdom. Those who love God and seek to do his will be gathered safely into God's kingdom. And they will live forever and shine like the sun, says Jesus. But the weeds, those are the people who reject and ignore God's way, who end up doing the devil's will. And their fate is one they will regret forever, to be destroyed. Jesus and his angels will judge perfectly. He can tell the good guys from the bad guys. He can see the secrets of our hearts, what we've done, what we've said, what we've thought. No one will say on that day, it's not fair, because it will be fair. And so John the Baptist was right when he asked, when is it going to happen? The sun will gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn the chaff with fire. He was just wrong to expect it so soon. Now, Jesus tells us these stories to help us understand how God is bringing his kingdom near so that we can be ready and be doing the right thing. So there's two things we need to learn today. First, we must not take things into our own hands. We mustn't become vigilantes and take revenge. We know that people do terrible things, but our job is not to judge them. It is to love them and tell them the gospel. And if people do bad things to us, then we need to forgive them, not take revenge. That doesn't mean we don't need police and courts and armed services. It doesn't mean we don't need standards in church to protect us from bad behaviour. Earthly discipline is a good thing. It teaches the bad guys they're doing bad things in the hope that they'll change their ways before they face the final fair judgment. God delays to give them time. Secondly, we must be patient and keep on preaching the gospel, because although the word may seem terribly weak and small, like a mustard seed, like almost invisible yeast, it has a power to change lives. Augustine said, "The weeds may become wheat." The gospel changes us as we hear it. Bad soil turns to good soil, bad crops to good crops. Yeast makes the bad things good. So we need to trust God and preach the gospel. And finally, we need to make sure of ourselves. Don't just assume because everything's quiet and there's no judgment, there isn't a judgment to come. It's coming. Here's the question. Are you sure that you're one of the good guys? Have you made your peace with God, confessed your sins, and put your faith in him? Then plant his word in your heart so that you can produce the seed that pleases him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to be our King and our Saviour. Thank you that your word is at work in the world, bringing people into your kingdom. Please help us not to judge other people, but to share the good news and know that you are our King and our Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.